I'm going to speak very briefly out of the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. And we're going to begin in just verse 6. I'm going to read through verse 9. And I want to bring this to you, and I want you to think about it as we look at this. It's a very important passage of Jesus, our Savior, in Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. Luke 13, verses 6 through 9. And we read in verse 6, "And he," Jesus, "told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, 'Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?' And he answered him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. And if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down.'" What Jesus is doing in this portion of Scripture is he's giving an agricultural illustration. And these people would have understood that. These people were agricultural people. They had vineyards. They had fruit trees. They had olive groves. And they had grapevines. They know what Jesus was talking about in this parable because they were an agricultural people. They had all of those things that Jesus speaks about. But we have to understand there's three things in this text that are massively important for you and I today. And I just want to give them to you very briefly. Number one, I want you to see in the text, where God gives spiritual advantages, God expects proportionate returns.
Amen.
Listen to me, beloved. These people, Israel, they had been given all of these things from God. They had been favored people. There was no nation that was favored like the Israelites. There was no nation on earth that had the revelation from God, direct revelation from God. They had the Mosaic Law. They had the covenant. They had the ordinances. They had all of these wonderful gifts. They were greatly favored because of the revelation that other nations didn't get. Listen, beloved, Egypt didn't get this. Babylon didn't get this. The Grecian Empire didn't get it. The Romans didn't get it. But Israel had received such great blessings from God. And it's only just and right that they should bear fruit to God. And this is what Jesus is bringing to their mind. He's talking to the Israelites saying, "You've been given such great advantage. You've been given such great privilege. Yet there's nothing in your life. There's no fruit going on with Israel. The King of Kings has come, yet you don't recognize Him. You don't see Him. Your eyes have been blinded." And so you would think that all these privileges, there would be more faith. There would be more repentance. There would be more godliness. There would be more holiness in the nation of Israel. But there wasn't. And this is what God looked for. He, being the owner of the vineyard, He came seeking fruit, and He didn't find any. Now here we are today, just to make application of this. Here you and I are today in the buckle of the Bible Belt. You've been given much privilege. You've been given much grace. And yet what happens? You sit under the preaching of the Word. Many people, there's much grace going out right now this morning in churches across the land. There's so much going out. And yet there's so little coming back to God. Think about that with me for a moment. And that's the first thing I want you to notice from the text. The second thing I want you to see from the text is that it's a very dangerous thing to be unfruitful all the while living under God's grace. All the while living under God's abounding grace. Notice verse 7 in the text. "And he said to the vine dresser," Jesus brings in the vine dresser. He says, "Look, for 3 years now I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree. I don't find anything. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And the owner complains that it's bore no fruit. And he even orders the destruction of the fig tree. He's even saying, "Cut it down. Let's get rid of it. It's taking up the ground. It's encumbering the rest of the earth." And this is a warning that we see. And even the vine dresser tells us in verse 9. Notice in verse 9 what the vine dresser being Jesus. He says back in verse 8, he said, "Let it alone this year." In other words, the mediation, the grace is coming. Look, leave it alone this year until I dig around it and put on manure. In other words, let me tend to this one tree. Let me tend to this one tree. Let me pour into this one tree something that's going to make a difference in this tree, that it might bring forth fruit. And stay your hand. Don't cut it down. Let me tend to it. Let me pour my grace, as Jesus would say. into somebody today. Let me speak to somebody's heart today, Jesus would say, in order to prick the heart to show them where they're not right with me. And then the warning comes. If it should bear fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down. Beloved, this is for you and I today, and it's for the nominal Christian especially. The nominal Christian is one that just talks about God, might profess Christ, but doesn't possess Christ in the heart. They may think they're a good person. They may be a good husband or a good father, a good mother, a daughter, but they don't have Christ. And they've never been brought all the way into Christ. And they've been in the choicest part of the vineyard. They've heard the gospel preached to them. And they've heard God's grace in the preaching of His Word and the teaching of His Word. And they've heard all of that, yet they bear no fruit of salvation. And beloved, you say, what is the fruit of salvation? Let me tell you what it is. It's a heart for Christ.
Amen.
It's a heart that puts Christ in the first and the foremost of your life. It's all of those things that Jesus loves, you now love. And all of those things that Jesus hates, you hate those things too, because they don't bring honor and glory to your Savior. This is what is in the text, and it's a sad situation. Let us never forget that the center of the teaching and the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this area, right in the buckle of the Bible Belt, beloved, listen to me now. If a person dies and goes to hell in the outer parts of Africa that's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, they're better off than somebody that sat under the teaching and preaching of the gospel. What grace has been poured into us? We've been a society of easygoing, easy believism. We have it all. And yet the gospel's preached and many people won't come to faith because they don't want God. They don't want God. They want the benefits of God. They want to go to heaven. They just don't want God to be there. This is what it is. The third thing I want you to see very quickly is the tremendous debt that we all owe to God's mercy and Jesus' intercession. Notice that in verse 8. Sir, let it alone this year until I dig around it, until I fertilize it, until I pour into it what it actually needs. I want you to draw your gaze on that verse 8 there and just think about the loving kindness of God and the mediation of Jesus Christ. Because God planned salvation for His people in eternity past. Jesus Christ accomplished that on the cross for you and for me. And the Holy Spirit now is applying it to individual hearts. And listen, beloved, I wouldn't want you to depend on you being a good person, or that your baptism, or that the fact that you belong to another church that preached the gospel, I don't want you to count on anything except one person, and that's Jesus Christ for your salvation.
Amen.
Because there is no other way. And God right now is speaking to hearts across the land to come to Him. And He's showing mercy, and He's showing grace, and His long-suffering not to cut the tree down yet. Romans 2:4 says, or do you presume on the riches of His kindness and the forbearance and the patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to bring you to repentance or lead you to repentance? Right now, God's kindness is meant to bring you to repentance. It's meant to bring you to a saving relationship. Our God is good. And like I said the other day, God is more willing to bring you to Himself than you are to come.
Right.
If you would just yet repent and believe the gospel.
Amen.
Oh, beloved, He has a plan for you. To repent and believe. Repent and believe. That's a commandment that God gives us. That's our responsibility. And I pray today that you would do that and count your many blessings. That God has set you down today to hear the gospel from our dear brother, who's going to get behind this sacred desk and he's going to tell us exactly what God says in His Word. What a grace!
Amen.
Irreplaceable.
Right.
That God would do that for us. Amen. Father, I thank You, Lord, for Your Word. I thank You, Father, that You have given us all that we need for salvation and sanctification. And I pray, Lord, for my brother as he comes, Lord, during the singing, may our hearts be inflamed. And Lord, and through the preaching of Your Word, Lord, may we just take glory, Father, in knowing that You have accomplished something, Father, that was beyond our comprehension. It was bringing lost sinners, wicked sinners, people who were Your enemies, Father. You brought us to Yourself, and now You call us friends. You call us family. Thank You, Father, for Christ. In His name we pray. Amen.